Hopefully, the feeling of Thanksgiving will continue past last Thursday in our lives. Amen. Continue to give thanks for what we have. Thanks for all that God's blessed us with. You know, if you really stop and think about all that you actually have and all the blessings you enjoy, it's amazing. I've often said, in my years of traveling to different places in the world, I've often said that the poor people in America are richer than the wealthy in other countries. And very few people believe that. But you have to understand that I've been in villages where a wealthy person actually had a cement block hut with a tin roof. That was the wealthiest person in the village. Now they didn't have any running water. They don't have any facilities. They for a bathroom, they just got a hole out in the back, dug with a couple of logs over this hole, and that's the bathroom. Just stop and think about you just have to scoot your feet out on these logs, and most of them aren't even covered. I mean, they're just out in the open, but that's a wealthy person. It actually has a cement block house, which isn't very big, just a small little cubicle, and actually has a metal roof, or they call them iron sheets there in a lot of countries. They're iron sheets on their roof, and it's just galvanized metal, what we'd call it. And so a lot of us have more than that. We have running water, even if we don't have a whole lot. Most of us have running water. We have heat. And in the winter, and cooling in the summer, so we're pretty wealthy. But you stop and think about all the blessings you actually have, and it's really hard to complain. Amen. Come on, somebody. Praise God. We've got through Thanksgiving, got Christmas coming up, and yes, we will be having service Christmas Day. I've been asked that question, and I realize that that's a family day. You know, we like to open presents and all that kind of stuff, but stop and think about it, guys. I mean, there's two days out of the year that belong to the church, not the world, the church, Christmas and Easter. The thought of canceling a service when we're supposed to be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, I don't even know what to think about that. You know, we're just giving up everything that we've got. But it ought to be the greatest day of celebration that the church has in America. I mean, the churches should be full and people should be celebrating, and you can open up gifts on Saturday night or after you get home, or you even got time in the morning. I mean, if you get up early enough, you can open presents and get to church. It don't matter. I'm absolutely confident that there was a lot of people that got up very, very early on Black Friday. Matter of fact, some people didn't even go to bed Thursday night. They went straight to the shops and started shopping. So, hey, you know, if we can be that courageous for a $10 toaster. Praise God, we can celebrate Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. A lot of interesting things are happening. We're in a time that we need to understand that now is the time for investment. This is not a time to sit back and say, okay, you know, we need just cross our arms and rest. No, this is a time for the church to take advantage of what we have and to invest and push forward. And I believe that we're going to do that. I believe God's changing a lot of things. This coming Wednesday night, me and Sister Betty have been asked to come back to a church that we pastored for 6 years to be honored. And that's 24 years ago. And the pastor that is there now understands the history, and he feels that me and Sister Betty were not exactly treated right there. And so they want us to come back, which is embarrassing to me. I, I, I mean, a lot of people think it's great, but to me it embarrasses me because they want to apologize to us for the way that we were treated there. And to me, you know, that's like feeling weak and stuff, you know, needing somebody to, you know, console me or something. But they said that we need to do this in order to break into a future for our church. And he said he felt like God. And so they want to honor us and apologize and stuff like that. And we actually was able to accomplish a lot in those 6 years. There was a lot of people saved, a lot of people. We built a brand new church, two-story church, brick church, paved the parking lot, everything, and did that in 5 months and paid cash for it. We didn't borrow a dime on it, which is unheard of. And it was a miraculous thing. And God showed me that when the first Sunday I pulled up, they just asked me to come and fill in for a Sunday morning. I was actually assistant pastor here, and they asked me to come and fill in for a Sunday morning. And I pulled up in front of this little old rundown schoolhouse building. That's where the church was. And I got out of the car and looked to the left. We were parked on the north side. I looked to the left and saw a two-story brick building sitting there, a brand new church sitting there behind this little rundown schoolhouse. And I saw that and I said, God, why are you showing me this? And he said, I want you to build that. I was just filling in. First Sunday, hadn't even been in the church yet. And so, long story short, we ended up pastoring there for 6 years. Matter of fact, they voted on me. And I've always been a person that when I feel like God wants me to do something, opposition just seems to not matter because this is what God wants me to do. And so they voted on me. And I just barely got a majority to, you know, to be accepted as pastor, and I took it. They were dismayed. They said, we can't believe that you accepted that. And I said, hey, you know, I feel like this is what God wants me to do. And consequently, they tried to vote me out every year after that, every March, they would have a vote and try to, and they would have their votes counted, and they would. It was almost like this year that we just went through with the presidential election. They would campaign, do their phone calls and everything, and every March they'd try to vote me out. And the problem with that was we kept getting so many people saved that they kept getting outvoted. And so, anyway, it was quite interesting. And, you know, they were just afraid, and they felt like their church was being taken away from them. Because all these new people coming in and just fear, that's all it is. But God blessed us tremendously during that time, and we was able to accomplish a lot. Brother Everett and his whole family, Damon, that whole family was saved the first year that we pastored down there, and they've been faithful ever since. And Brother Everett had just a new convert, had the great experience of being a deacon. Just a new convert and got voted in as a board member, and he got to walk through all that with me during that time. So it was wonderful. Anyway, we more than tripled the size of the church, built a brand new brick church, paid cash for it, you know, and all kinds of blessing. And the way they rewarded me and Sister Betty for that is they cut our salary by $10,000 a year. And so we went to Sam's and bought a case of tuna, and we lived on tuna until we could kind of get things rearranged where we could survive. I had $5 after paying our bills. We had $5 a week left over, and God provided. He just took care of us, and we continued to see people saved, continued to see people healed. Had a 12-year-old girl that had suffered from leukemia all of her life, and was in the last stages of leukemia, and she couldn't come out of her house because they had her on such heavy chemotherapy that they had to keep her isolated from all germs and everything, and you know just this been going on for years, and it had just taken a toll on her life. And, you know, didn't look like she would make it much longer. And God told me one day, one morning, I got up and told the church, I said, look, stand with me. We're gonna pray and declare today that she's healed. And I said, this is how we're going to pray. The doctors are going to tell us that she's healed. And so we prayed that. And shortly after that, she went down, I mean, just got into a terrible state of emergency, and they rushed her back to the Children's Hospital, I think, somewhere up north here, and rushed her back there, and they had to really work to try to pull her out of it. Well, come to find out, the chemotherapy was working opposite of what it needed to, and the chemotherapy was killing her. And they took her off the chemotherapy. They kept taking her off this, and it wasn't just a short time. And they come to the parents and they said, we don't know what has happened, but we have seen the first cure we've ever seen of leukemia, and she's cured. Praise God. Amen. Completely healed. Completely healed. And she's a young mother now, has children, and doing great. Praise God. Well, she wouldn't be young. That was 24 years ago. She's still young. The more years go by, the more I realize that, you know, 60 is pretty young. That's really young. Praise God. Anyway, I believe, I said all that to say that I believe that something, God is orchestrating something. And things are, I think God is restoring. I told that pastor, I said, man, you don't have to apologize me for anything. I said, that was like kindergarten. I said, what I've been through since then, you know, that was child's play. So you don't need to apologize to me. And he said, no, he said, we've got to do this in order to break the curse off of our church. And I said, okay, we'll do it. So praise God. We're going to go break a curse. Hallelujah. See God's blessings come. We're going to be talking about that. The first song we sung, I thought it was interesting that we sung Heaven's Jubilee, because I want you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 4, and verse 19. It's in the Amplified Bible. It's what I'm reading out of for this verse. Talks about we read it every Sunday morning. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me. And the last verse in that says, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. Praise God. That's out of the Amplified Bible. To declare the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. I want you to think about the terminology there, the definition the Amplified Bible tries to give to explain this, that salvation, the year when salvation and free favors of God. How many want to be favored by God? Amen. The free favors of God profusely abound. And this is referring to the year of Jubilee. The Jubilee year was ever 50th year in the Old Testament, ever 50th year under the Old Law, that there would be a day of a year of salvation. Whenever debts were forgiven, if you owed somebody something, that debt was cleared on that 50th year. And if you had had to sell your property to somebody because you had got in a bind financially, on that 50th year, the year of Jubilee, that property had to be restored back to the rightful owners. And so it was a year of celebration. It was a year of release. It was a year of reward. It was a year that when things were restored to the way that they should be, and then debts were forgiven. How many would like, you know, to if the government of the United States was to announce that next year, 2017, which is actually a Jubilee year for America, And 2017 is a year of Jubilee. And how many would get excited if the government announced that this is our Jubilee year, all deaths will be canceled next year? There's a lot of people rush out and run up their credit cards. I mean, right before it's forgiven. But see, in the year of Jubilee, that you know, you couldn't take advantage of it because God was smart enough to know the way that men think. And so if you was going to get a loan from somebody, they would figure how many years it was to the next Jubilee, and they would space it out to where that debt would be paid off by the Jubilee year. And so if you was going to sell land to somebody, they would only give you the amount that it'd be worth for how many years was left to that Jubilee year. And so, you know, you couldn't take advantage of anybody. But it was a year of release. It was a year when poverty was restored, was broken, and plenty came back. The Jubilee year was a year when twice the amount of produce on the sixth year, every 7 years was a Jubilee year. And every 7 years, on the sixth year, God said that I will bless you with enough for 3 years on that sixth year so that you would be able to live that sixth year. Then you would be able to, because you wasn't to plow or plant anything on that seventh year. And God said, I will bless you in the sixth year to where your crops will produce enough that you can live on the abundance through the seventh year and also through the next year, because the next year they would have to plow and plant and wait for a harvest. And God knew that. So they would have enough, an abundance and enough to make it the sixth year, the seventh year, and then starting again on the first year, they would have enough to make it through that year. And that's the blessing of God. And Jesus here is telling them, he's reading this, and he's saying that God has anointed me, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, which means is referring to that Jubilee year when salvation and free favors of God profusely abound. In other words, it's a time of rest and it's a time of plenty. Somebody say praise God. Hallelujah. Now, we can look at it and say, oh, great, you know, I was looking at it and realized that next year, 2017, is actually a Jubilee year. And I thought, well, that's great. I don't know that any of that matters anymore, you know, as far as timing. I don't know. I'm not intelligent enough in all this stuff to, I believe. But what I do know is this, that Jesus said, from now on, the year of Jubilee will be from now on. It'll be continual. Salvation and free favors of God is going to profusely abound. Praise God. In other words, Jesus said we're entering into a year. Now remember, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years with God. God doesn't really recognize time except for when it comes to us, because we're the only ones that live in time. God does not dwell in time. We dwell in time. But God understands that, and he works in time for us. And so what Jesus is saying is it's coming. We are entering into a dispensation. We're entering into a time, a year, a time where the salvation of God and the free favors of God are going to profusely abound. And many of us would say, man, I can't wait for that to happen. But what we don't understand is we're living that right now. This is that time. Right now. It's not yesterday. It's not the revivals of the past. It's not what's going to come. You know, the problem with people talking about revival is that it's always coming. It's always coming. I believe it's here. Did you know every revival that's ever hit has come because people decide that they want to seek God? It's not because God decides, well, on this year I'm going to do this, or in this year I'm going to do this. A lot of times, revivals and moves of God have come in desperate times when people realize, hey, we need God. We need something to happen. And so they start seeking God. They start praying and seeking God. And then we use terminology like, wow, a revival, you know, broke out. No, that revival has always been going on. It's just that we decided to get in on it. Amen. We just decided to get in on it. You know, I told Sister Betty, we are addicted to going south this time of year. And it's just almost like, you know, birds that can't fly south. We just get kind of miserable. And I told Sister Betty the other day, because we like going down south, Padre Island, and it's just like a little haven for us. And we took our kids there for 17 years when it was growing up. Spent every Christmas and New Year's there for 17 years. And so to us, it got a lot of really nice memories. And I told Sister Betty the other day, I said, you know what? Those waves just keep rolling in, whether we're there or not. You know, they don't shut the place down when we're not there. It just keeps going. Just keeps happening, you know? Somebody else might be sitting on my back deck on the ocean watching the sunrise and the waves roll in. You know, it doesn't stop just because I'm not there. Well, that's the way the presence of God is. That's the way the move of God is. God doesn't stop moving. God doesn't take breaks, and he doesn't say, okay, you know, I'm not going to move in 2016. I'm not going to move until 2020, and then I'm going to send this great revival, and it's just going to... No. If people decide that this year they want to seek God and want to have a move of God, history will record that we had a tremendous outpouring of the Spirit of God in 2017. Amen. History is just a record reporting what happened. We don't live in history. We're living right now. I can't live in the future, even though I live there all the time in my mind. I mean, I'm always planning. I'm always going around the next bend. But I have to live right here, right now. I have to live in the presence of God right now. It's what's happening right now. And I have to ask myself, what is it that I'm experiencing right now with the presence of God? What is it that the Word of God is doing in my life right now, today? Not some other time, today. What are we accomplishing today? I'm not going to waste my life away waiting for something to happen someday. Amen? That's like somebody that fantasizes about how it could be, you know, if they had a good job and did something. You know? You can either fantasize about it or else you can apply yourself to it and actually see it happen. Amen. The only difference between people that have success and people that don't have success are the people that have success decided to do something and they didn't stop until it happened. They continued regardless of setbacks, regardless of things not going right in their life, regardless of enemies, regardless of things, you know, the failures in their life. The only thing that separates us is that people that we call successful has failed and failed and failed until they finally produce something. Amen. Praise God. It takes stick-to-itiveness. That is in the dictionary. Now, it wasn't several years ago when I first started using that term. I started using it before I ever knew that anybody else used it. And Sister D is a walking Webster dictionary. And I used that one night preaching, and she said, that really isn't a word. I looked in the dictionary, it wasn't in there. It really wasn't a word. I looked in the dictionary here lately, and they have put it in there. Stick-to-itiveness. Praise God. I'm glad I'm able to teach these people. It takes some stick-to-itiveness. That means you stick with it. Amen. You don't quit just because something doesn't go right. We are living in the greatest time and the greatest hour that we could ever live in the church age. I love reading about the book of Acts, but did you know that we're living in a day that the book of Acts pales in comparison to what's going on right now? We are seeing more happen right now than we've ever seen before. I don't know if you have recognized it lately, but America is actually experiencing a move of God. Amen. Now, I realize a lot of churches just are just dead and dormant. And that's why I keep asking myself, why are we satisfied to live in a drought when the rains are falling? Why are we satisfied to sit on dry ground when a river of life is flowing right there that we could jump into? Are we going to be content to say, well, you know, someday? Or are we going to say, no, I'm not going to wait for someday. Now is when I'm alive. Now is when I'm existing. Now is the time for me to experience the presence of God. Now, today is the day for my life to be blessed. Not another day, not some other time. Praise God. Don't look at what's going on around you to determine whether you're blessed or not. You become the blessing for what's around you. Amen. Just because things aren't going right in your life doesn't mean you're not being blessed. Many times that's exactly the time that the blessings of God are most upon you. It's just we don't recognize it. 40 years the children of Israel wandered around in the desert and their shoes never wore out. I wonder how many of them really thought that was a blessing. I know hardly any of the women did because they didn't get a new pair of shoes. But how many actually looked at that and said, wow, 40 years, these shoes have lasted 40 years. I've got shoes that are almost that old. I just keep things around. I wear them. Amen. I know most of the time I'm outdated. People say, oh, you need to update your wardrobe. You know, it's clothes. It's just necessity. Come on, somebody. Come on, shake it off. Shake it off. Praise God. I know the retailers are telling you need to upgrade to make money. Praise God. Ralph Lauren, I don't even know who that is. But somehow we're supposed to wear his stuff. Betty bought me a jacket the other day, and it's a real nice jacket, and she bought it at a thrift store for a couple of dollars, and it says Ralph Lauren on it. I thought, wow, man, I am moving up. I don't know who that guy is, but you're supposed to have his name on your clothes. I think. Is that old? That's probably old too. Is that 20 years old? There's probably some Pierre Quadoon or something now you're supposed to wear or something like that. You don't understand how much I have to conquer what's going on in my head to preach sometimes. When we understand the presence of God, understand that now is the time, right now. Praise God. Right now, today is when you're alive. Today is when the blessings of God need to be flowing in your life. Well, how does that happen? It doesn't happen by coincidence. It doesn't just all of a sudden show up. There's things that have to happen in your life that has to go before the blessings of God. Jesus paid the price for us so that the free favors of God and could profusely abound in our life. His presence can be so rich in your life right now that you don't have to question, where's God? You don't have to question, God, why aren't you working in my life? You know Him because you are talking to Him all the time. I told Rob and Tammy today, I said I had something really neat happen in my life this week that excited me. And you probably won't even think it's exciting, but it excited me because of some things I've been asking God for. And over the years, God's given me prophetic words for a lot of people, especially pastors. I'm forever sending texts or calling pastors up. God will just show me their face or their name and with a statement. And I know when that happens, I know that I'm supposed to convey the message. So that's what I do. And a lot of times they'll say, man, that was really needed, or that was timely, and things like that. There's been times that I've actually given them detailed statements of when it's going to happen, times, and this is going to happen at this time, and this is going to happen, and you need to do this, and you need to do, and I've given them detailed things like that, and it's actually happened, and all that's really neat. But the other day, for whatever reason, this excited me more than anything's ever excited me, and it's just the simplest little thing. I was in here praying, and I got a pastor friend in Lamar, Missouri, Brother Kent, and I haven't talked to him in a long time. And I was in here praying, and all of a sudden I saw his face, and the Holy Spirit said, go text him and tell him what the angel said to Gideon. So I got up. I thought, okay. I went to my office. I looked it up real fast. The angel of the Lord said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And so I got my phone, found his phone number, and I texted to him real fast, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Put my phone down, come back in here, went back to praying. About an hour later, I went back in my office, saw I had a message, looked at it, and he said, we had just decided to do something really big. And he said, I was just in my office praying and saying, God, I hope this is your will. I hope we're not missing you. I hope this is what you want us to do. And he said, as soon as I prayed that, your text popped up on my phone and said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. I mean, we're not talking about a space of time. Immediate. You realize how much God had to coordinate to get that to happen? Yeah, he was working on that. And I guess that excited me because it was such an instant answer. It wasn't a long time. He's in his office saying, God, I hope this is what you want us to do, because obviously it's something really big that he's launched. And he's praying, God, I want to be in your will. I want to know that it's your will. And as soon as he said, as soon as I said those words, you text me this. And I just texted him back and said, obviously God, you know, God knows and he cares. Amen. I mean, right like that. And I thought to myself, wow. I want to see that happen more often. Amen. Can you imagine praying about something and all of a sudden your phone rang and you pick it up and somebody tells you, yeah, go ahead. I mean, that would kind of be like, oh, okay, God, you actually heard me. You're actually involved in this. But I believe things like that are going to begin to happen more and more and more, to where you can be passing somebody in a store and the Holy Spirit give you something, you stop and say, oh, by the way, that thing you've been asking God about, he says this is going to happen. And an instantaneous answer. What is that? That's people understanding that, wow, God's right here. He knows about me. He knows where I'm at. Amen. The free favors of God profusely abounding. Can you imagine praying about a financial need in your life? And, you know, a lot of us have online banking. We don't, but a lot of you have online banking, and it tells you, you know, what's in your bank account and all that stuff. And praying about a financial need in your life, and all of a sudden your phone goes bing, and you look at it, and there's been a deposit in your account. See, I had to get this down where we live. And would you not get excited about that? I mean, what if you was praying and you had a $500 bill that needed to be paid? You didn't have the money to pay it. And all of a sudden your phone goes off. You look, and there's been a $500 deposit made in your account. You don't know where it come from. You don't know how that happened. But all you know is it's there. It wasn't there, and now it is there. And God answered your prayer. That is what I'm talking about. We're not living in a time where we have to try to struggle through the wilderness and the drought to try to get to something God has put off in some kind of fantasy for us. We're living in a time where he is present right now. He's alive and he's moving. And we need to start just simply accepting the fact that he's active in my life now. This minute. Right now. I'm not looking for God somewhere, because I'm talking to him right now inside. He's alive inside of me. Praise God. God has given us this awesome blessing, And for years, we just don't acknowledge it. We don't accept it. We don't realize it's there. It's like having this huge blessing, and we keep ignoring it. What if Donald Trump called you up tomorrow and said, "What can I do for you?" What would you say? Let alone being president, just the fact he's already a billionaire. Yeah. I mean, what would you say? Which most of us would stutter for a while. It's kind of like the guy that pulled over, and I don't want to get on politics. I don't care what you think about him. I like Jesus. Amen. I don't look to anybody to be my answer. He's going to make more mistakes than you can imagine, just like anybody else would. But just pray God gives us a reprieve for a while. But it's like the guy that pulled up behind this limousine and gets out because the limousine had a flat tire. Knocks on the window, roll the window down. It's Donald Trump sitting in there. This is several years ago before he was ever, running for office. Everybody loved him before he ran for office because he had money. If you got money, people like you. Amen. See, I have to battle all this stuff in my head to try to get a message across. But he pulled up there and he said, "Hey, I know how to change a tire. I can change this tire for you in just a minute. Do you want me to help you?" And Donald said, "Oh no, we got another car coming. They're going to take care of it." And he said, "Okay." He said, "But I could change it real fast." And they were on the side of the road. "I can change it real fast, get you going." He said, "No," but he said, "Can I do something? Is there anything I can do for you for stopping that to help me?" And the guy just kind of thought for a minute, and he said, "Yes, you can." And gave him his wife's name and address and said, "Would you please send my wife a dozen roses at her work with my name on it?" And he said, "We can take care of that." And so he did. He sent a dozen roses. But with the roses, he had his people look up who these people were and found out how much they owed on their house. And with the roses was a receipt that their home mortgage was paid in full. That's a man. That's a man. And yet the Lord of all lords, the King of all kings, the Creator, the one that made everything, and by Him was not anything made that was made, He made everything, has looked at us and said, "What is it that I can do for you?" Because this is a time when free favors of God are profusely abounding. Hallelujah. Praise God. Will we live under a curse in a time of blessing? I don't want to. Will we be strangers to God in a time of His free favors? How can we experience drought in a time of rain? But without, and Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please and be satisfactory to Him." It's that out of the Amplified Bible. "For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him." One of the reasons that we're not experiencing the profuse outflowing of God is because we're not diligently seeking to know Him. We're not trying to get in relationship with Him. We are emergency prayers. We are 911 people. When things go wrong in our life, we want to know why God hasn't answered our prayer. But I got to tell you something. If you was living every day in a relationship with Him, you wouldn't be asking why He hadn't answered your prayer, because you're already in communion with Him. He's already talking to you about it. You don't have to wonder, where is God? He's right here. He's right. I just got through talking to Him. He's talking to me about something totally different. So obviously, He's going to answer my prayer, since He's already given me something else to do. I remember when God spoke to him and told me to go to Rwanda and build, the stuff over there. And that's hit. I mean, we've got it. It's history. It's happened. But I made some phone calls and said, trying to find out what it would cost to buy a piece of ground in Kigali City in Rwanda, where God told me to go, where he told me to buy the land. And they finally come to Craig Rogers finally called me back after doing some investigation for me. He said, it looks like about $15,000. At that time, this church was running a $15,000 deficit. In other words, we had a bunch of accounts, like the women's ministry, thank you, that we were living off of as a church. In other words, the money was there, but we were paying bills with it, so you couldn't spend any of it. We had several accounts that had money allocated, but we were living off of it. That's how we was paying our bills. And then a whole lot of other ways that was keeping things paid. $15,000 deficit. And God tells me to go to Rwanda and buy a piece of land that's going to cost $15,000. Exactly what we need here. And I held my hand out to God, and I will have to admit, in a little bit of a curt attitude, I held my hand out and I said, God, you put $15,000 in cash in my hand, and I'll go to Rwanda and buy that property. And God isn't moved by your attitude a lot of times. I mean, he understands. I mean, it was like, you know, we can't even pay our bills here. You know, we're extended in that several different directions. We're needing money for all kinds of stuff. And God all of a sudden says, this is what I want you to do. So I held up my hand. 2 weeks later, some people called us up and put $15,000 in our hand in cash. And just like I said, I didn't call them. They called me and said, God told us to give this to you. I held out my hand. They took a stack of money, $100 bills, in a restaurant with people looking at us, and put a $15,000 and $100 bills in my hand, just like I told God. Can you imagine God and the angels up there laughing? Hey, watch this. Mr. Kurt attitude. I'm going to do this in public. There I was holding that stack of $100 bills and just kind of amazing. And I gave it to Betty real fast. I said, put that in your purse. Because I realized everybody around us was staring at us. You know, like some kind of drug deal going down or something. See, God knew what we needed, but he wanted us to do something else because he had the rest of this covered. See, we get so shook up about things that we don't realize that God's got this. He just wants us to start listening and being about what he wants us to do. Come on. I hope you're getting this. It says, he is a rewarder of them that earnestly and diligently seek him. The word reward is, it just means to an act of giving of a gift to someone. It's a reward. It's like if you was to do something and you didn't expect any money, you just helped somebody and went on your way. And then later, they approach you or you receive in the mail or something, a gift from them, they are rewarding you for an act of service. And God is saying, if you'll diligently seek me, then the reward will be in your life. Amen. There will be a reciprocation. It's not like he's paying you to seek him. It's just Paul is trying to get it across to us here that in order to live in the profusely abounding free favors of God, you've got to know who he is. You got to know what he's doing. You got to be connected to him in what he's doing right now. And if we're not connected to him right now, then then we're not going to be able to receive what he has for us. How many times has God tried to answer our prayers, but we were so shut down and closed off with our own needs that we couldn't hear or receive? In the book of Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 7, it says, in the Amplified Bible, it says, keep on asking and it'll be given you. Keep on seeking, you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking the door will be opened. Or what man is there, if his son asks him for a loaf of bread, will hand him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will hand him a serpent? If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give good and advantageous things to those who keep on asking him? Now, this is not about begging. This is about pushing through all the hindrances, pushing through the distractions of your soul, and entering into a relationship with God. This really isn't even talking about your needs. This is talking about coming into a close relationship with God. It's talking about being accepted into his presence, into the throne room of God. Keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking, and you will find. Amen. You're not going to be turned away. You're going to find that place with God, to where you live in his presence, where you actually know him. Where when things go wrong in your life, you're not standing there saying, man, God let me down. You can't believe that if you really know him. What you'll end up saying is, wow, man, that hurt. Come on, Jesus, let's go. Amen. Let's go. Let's get up and keep moving. Praise God. I believe that we have got to learn how to make up our minds and stick with God. We have got to learn how to make up our minds and stick with him. If we don't learn that lesson, then our life is going to be a roller coaster from now on. Amen. You know, I'm still pretty young, but I realize that I'm inching up there toward the years when most people think you got to be put out to pasture and, you know, disappear. And I'm talking to God. God keeps talking to him about things that he wants to do that's beyond my imagination. And so I'm thinking, God, I don't want to wait for anything. I don't want to wait another year. I don't want to wait. You know, I've actually been repenting. I mean, I don't know that I missed anything. I don't know that I've done anything wrong. But I've been telling God lately, oh, man, if, you know, couldn't we have, you know, 20 years ago, if we could only, you know, really got started on this 20 years ago when I had more energy. You know? Isn't that doubt? And yet, I read in Romans chapter 8, where he says, if that same Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. I used to think that was talking about the resurrection, you know, when we go to heaven. That's not talking about the resurrection. That's talking about the fact that he saved us, spirit, soul, and body, and our physical bodies can receive of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, and we can be renewed. And so I've been saying, yay, God. I'm ready. Come on. Let's do that. Praise God. I saw somebody put something on Facebook the other day, said, I've got to the age where just being at home by myself with nothing to do is great. And I thought, wow, I actually feel that way a lot of times. You know, when there's nothing to do that night, you know, it's like, I get to sit at home, you know? It's almost like some kind of treat. Used to, it was like, oh no, I ain't got nothing to do. We got to do something. We got to go. Anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. The only time I wear jogging clothes is when I'm at home by myself. I don't get out and run. Good night. Your heart only has so many beats a minute, you know, in a lifetime. People tell me you got to get out and jog, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I think we only have so many heartbeats in a lifetime. Why would I use them up running, going nowhere for no reason? Come on, somebody. Y'all know as well as I do that a treadmill is nothing but an American closet. It's just something to hang clothes on in your bedroom. Who needs it anyway? But see, we live in this thing. We live in this blessing if we keep seeking, asking, 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 asking. It's not about begging. It's about seeking to know. Knocking so that the door will be open, the doors of heaven will be open to you. You have a free flow of God. Amen. For 3 months now, I've been praying just about the same thing every day. And I'll try to pray something else, and I'll go right back to the same thing. God, I want to see the manifestation of your presence. The demonstration of your word. Every time I try to pray something, I find myself migrating right back, and next thing you know, I'm saying, oh God, for the manifestation of your presence. Yeah. That's not begging. That's not believing it. It's not because I don't believe that it's going to happen. It's that the desire of my heart, and I am trying to break down the barriers and move the obstructions and break through the darkness that's trying to shut it off where I can't see it. I'm trying to break my way to what God's doing. It's not that I'm trying to get God to do something. He's already doing something. It's just that I want to get in on it. Amen. Amen. I want to get hooked up with God. I want to become part of the circuit. Now, in the line of work I've done for several years, that's not a good thing to do. When you're dealing with electricity, to become part of the circuit means that it's flowing through you. And that can have some very wild symptoms. It can make you shake, jump, jerk, yell, all kinds of stuff. I found out what it's like one day. You know, AC current is 60 hertz. It means it's not just direct current is constant. AC current is like waves. And I found out how fast 60 hertz is one day. It hurts. I got my arm hung up inside this big panel on something that wasn't supposed to be hot. I had to investigate and find out what in the world went wrong, but it was just a brace inside this panel that wasn't supposed to be connected to anything, and I had my hand inside this big breaker panel, you know, huge rows of breakers, trying to pull a wire through, and I'm pulling that through, and my elbow touches that brace, which shouldn't be a problem. It's not supposed to be a problem. It was a problem. Because next thing I know, my arm clenches inside that box and I can't get loose. It makes all your muscles pull up, you know, draw up. And so my elbow and my arm is, you know, I'm grounded out and my arm is hung up inside there and it's just pulling and pulling and pulling. And the craziest thing happened. My feet started doing this. I'm hung up trying to get loose from this thing. And I'm looking down thinking, what is wrong with my feet? You ever seen that movie, Happy Feet? Little kids movie, little penguin. And I'm standing there, and my feet are doing this on the deck. And I finally set my feet real hard and pulled myself backwards and broke loose from that. But I became part of the current, part of the, I connected two parts. And in doing so, I experienced what I was connected to. Now that can really, I mean, in that scenario, that cannot turn out good. For me, it did. I don't know. It took me a while to get where I could use my arm again. Those muscles get so sore. It's amazing how sore they get. But if I can only get hooked up with God. To connect. and become part of the circuit with God, to where I begin to experience what's flowing from God. Amen. Because it's flowing. It's there. See, that electricity was there all the time, even though I couldn't see it, even though I couldn't feel it, even though I couldn't do anything about it. That electricity was there, and it was flowing. It wasn't until I got, till I became part of the circuit that I experienced it. And my feet dancing on the floor, I realized later, was the pulsing current, 60 hertz pulsing current. So I know what it sounds like now. I want to know what it sounds like to get hooked up to the power of God and experience the flow of God. I have a feeling some things are going to happen, because you can't get hooked up with God and nothing happen. Amen. Something's going to happen. Many times your mouth's going to fly open and things are going to come out of it that you never dreamed of saying. Praise God. Kind of like when you smash your finger. Only the opposite. It's actually going to be productive stuff. Whenever we ask, we got to keep asking until we begin to experience. Keep seeking. If you don't like what's going on in your life right now, well, just keep seeking. Commit yourself to finding out where God's at in your life, what He's doing in your life. Praise God. This is a time for it. Listen, in Ephesians, just a couple more verses. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Now I want you to notice the language that Paul uses here. Riches of His mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy. And then, because of His great love with which He loved us, that He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us. That sounds like a good place to be. And the thing is, every person that has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has this available to him. Riches of His mercy, greatness of His love, exceeding riches of His kindness and His grace and His mercy toward us. We all have that available to us. Praise God. Don't sit in a dry land when there's a river running right next to you. Jump in the river. Amen. Don't wait for something to happen. You be the thing that happens. Amen. We're always waiting on God to do something. Maybe God just wants us to be what we're waiting for. Amen. To apply ourselves. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, it says that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, beyond our ability to fully understand, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I believe the Amplified Bible says that you may be a body wholly filled with God. A body wholly filled with God. What would that be like? Can anybody just imagine what that would be like, a body wholly filled with God? Well, we saw it. Jesus did it. Amen. We saw somebody wholly filled with God. I've told God several times, I said, "God, I want you to sit in this house." Remember the story where Jesus went to a house and they went out and started gathering up everybody that was sick, everybody that was demon-possessed, every problem, ailment, and Jesus sat in the house and they just passed through and He healed them all. And I've been telling God, I've been telling Jesus, I want you to just sit in this house and heal everyone that comes through. Just sit in this house. Hallelujah. No big ado. Doesn't say anything dramatic about it. They just come through and he would just simply touch them or say something, or I don't even know that he said anything. Doesn't say that he said anything. It just says that he healed them all. In one place, they just laid people in the streets so that there were so many that as Jesus passed by, they could just reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And as he walked down the streets, people were being healed. It was like a wave of glory just coming down the street and people being healed and receiving. He didn't say a word to them. I've been amazed lately reading different healings and miracles that has taken place where Jesus didn't say anything about the miracle or healing. He just said, go your way. How is that supposed to correlate to your daughter's healed? Or your servant is healed? Just go your way. You know, you've got it. Jesus didn't say anything to the demon spirit of the woman that was a Gentile and wanted healing. And Jesus said, no, you can't have it because you're not a Jew. And the woman, remember last Sunday, was talking about it, how she just shot faith in there. And Jesus simply said, you have what you want. Your faith has caused you to receive this. Jesus didn't say, demon, come out. He just simply told the mom, okay, you've got it. And in saying that, back home, the demons came out. They had no choice. He didn't even have to command them. He just simply said, okay, it happened. We make this stuff so hard. Amen. I've been having these, how many ever, you know, in your mind dream about stuff? I've been actually dreaming about, you know, walking in public. If I go in a store, it's because I want to be with Sister Betty. Not because I want to just, you know, go there. But I can walk around sometimes and I see people that need stuff. And in my mind, this is, you know, y'all can fantasize about whatever you want to. This is what I fantasize about. I fantasize about just walking by people and not saying a word, and they just all of a sudden receive healings and miracles. And they just start saying, I don't know what happened. I don't want to happen. To me, that would be the most awesome thing. Praise God. Amen. And to watch them give God praise and just stand there. They don't have to know who did it. They don't know. All they need to know is, hey, God is present with us. Hallelujah. I realize some of y'all think, oh, that's arrogant. No, it's not arrogant. It is a desire and a passion to see suffering cease in people's lives and to see God glorified. How awesome God is and all that he's given to us, and we're missing out. We're squandering it. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live another year without being right where he is and experiencing what he's done, what he's doing. Hallelujah. I believe he's doing. It's just like right now, you know, that tinnitus stuff. I've been commanding it to come out of my ears because I have this loud buzzing noise in my head 24 hours a day. And you don't, you know, if you're just real calm and everything, it probably don't bother you. I'm not a calm person. And so I have to really watch it because I get to wanting to fight because I can't get away from this thing, you know. And so I have to distract myself from it. But I got this loud buzzing noise all the time, 24 hours a day in my head. And they call it tinnitus. Lately, I've got my own theory. I told Sister Betty the other day, I said, I think it's all the digital noise in the air and my ears are picking it up. Because if you stop and realize the air right now, how to use your phone, because the air is filled with digital noise right now. passing through our bodies, passing through us, going everywhere. There are so many different waves and signals and stuff that is passing through us right now, all around us. We're surrounded by it. And all you have to do to find out that you're surrounded by it is use a device that picks it up and that acknowledges it. I want to be that device. God's presence is all around us, all the time. I want to be one of those devices that monitors or reflects what God is doing. Amen. Praise God. I tend to believe that most of you that have your phones and iPads and stuff, I tend to believe that you're following me in your digital Bibles. Amen. I thought about putting a camera right at the back of the church pointing down where I could see just how many of y'all going on Facebook while I'm preaching or shopping. But I don't want to lose signal. You know what I'm talking about? You ever get in a place where you have no signal? That means that it's not there. But I know that God is everywhere at all times. Completely. I want to be able to register that. Stand with me today. I keep wanting to explain this, and you already got it. You already know what I'm talking about. I want to know the presence of God in a tangible way, to where it's not something that we say, well, one of these days it'll come, or one of these days this will happen, or one of these days that'll happen. Matter of fact, when I'm in prayer and I got thoughts going on in my mind and I'm thinking about big things in God, a lot of times I'll stop and I say, God, I don't want to just have fantasies. I don't want to just dream about this. I don't want to have big ideas about this. God, I want to know what you're saying. I want to see what you're seeing. I want to hear your voice. I don't want to imagine something. I want to receive from you absolute truth of what you're doing. I believe God's doing that. Amen. I believe He's been doing it for a while.